step out on that purpose, in that purpose, that we're not going to back down from it. And so I thought about, you know, when you're raising kids, if you ever raise kids, you kind of have to tell them a few times, 100, 1,000. And sometimes you need other people telling them too, right? I can tell someone, my kids, something, and then Ryan comes along to says something, the same thing I've been telling him forever, and Ryan says it once, and Malachi's like, that's a brilliant idea. And I'm like, I've been telling you that forever. Okay. So like, but I feel like that's, you know, sometimes what we need, and that's what God's doing with us. So tonight, I'm going to ask you first to stand up. So a few months ago, I talked about stirring it up, and we all did this dance move, right? Okay. Tonight, I want you to put your hands up like this. I just want you to go like this. And tonight, we are going to shake it off. Ready? Yeah, oh yeah, we're gonna dance. Come on. Hey, hey. Come on. It's all right, you can have fun. Dance. Yes, Miss Linda Wood. Come on, girl. Yep, keep shaking. Come on. Yes, okay. Yes, see, it's all right to move. It's all right to have fun. Tonight, we are going to talk about shake it off. Shake it off. Someone just say it. Say, shake it off. Let's pray after that. God, I do thank you for this night. I thank you, God, that we are all here. We are all safe. Open us up, our hearts up, our lives up to what you would have us do and say and hear tonight. God, take me out of the equation. Just come and enter into this place in Jesus' name. Amen. So our main scripture is going to be in Acts 28, verses 1 through 6. And here we find Paul, formerly known as Saul. You find him in a little storm, and we're going to get there. But we find him at the island of Matla, and that's where we're really going to sit. But before we get there, we have to know how they got there. And so Paul, if most of you know the story, he was one of the biggest Christian haters. He would kill them. He was set out, his main purpose in life was just to get rid of the whole Christian movement of Jesus. He did not like that, right? Paul had an experience with God, right? On the Damascus Road, he saw the light. God completely transformed his life. And then for the rest of his life, he was facing these encounters where people just didn't believe who he was. And he kept getting thrown into prison, and he kept facing these battles. And so this is kind of where we're at. I encourage you to read through the book of Acts. It's really good. So in Acts 27, he was before the emperor, and the emperor wanted him to go before Caesar in Rome. And so they put him on the ship, and they were on the ship to Rome because he had to stand before Caesar trial there. Which was already, God had already told him that that's what he wanted to happen. But Paul said to the crew, before they even set out, listen, I don't think we should go right now. I think we should wait. The crew's like, no, we're going. And this is where we're going to start in Acts 27, verses 26. So they're on a ship, and the storm starts. So it says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete, then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. So they went through the storm. They were experiencing a lot of hardship, a lot of loss. Things were going overboard. It was like crazy. But now he says, I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. So they were setting sail to one place, a storm happened, and now they had to go somewhere else. And so the first thing that we need to shake off is our plans and get God's plans. Think about that for a moment. Who's a planner? Who likes to plan everything? You have a list. Who's a more like, hey, just go with the flow, just go with it? No, we got a few. We're mostly planners. See, for me, it depends on who I'm with. Like, if Ben and I are traveling, I'm like, okay, what are we doing today? What time are we getting up? Where are we going for lunch? And he's like, don't worry about it. It's all right. But if I'm with a planner, I'm more of the, don't worry about it. It's all right. So I guess it just, for me, it depends on, like, who I'm with and, you know, what my role is at that time. But regardless of if you're a planner or if you're not, we all, if we're honest, we all have somewhat of a plan of where we wanted to be by now or where we thought we should be right now. And so did Paul. You know, he thought at this moment, okay, I was on this boat. God told me I had to stand and I was going to preach the gospel in Rome and this is where I was going. But the storm came and now I have to go somewhere else. That's what the crew thought. The crew thought they were going to Rome. The storm happened and now they're somewhere else. Storms have a way of messing up our plans sometimes, don't they? A storm has a way of kind of shaking you up a little bit. Last week, my husband, he had something happen with his hand. It was a storm. It messed up our lives a little bit. So some storms are a natural part of life. Some storms are our own vice. We get ourselves in a mess. And some storms are God's way of redirecting us to his plan, not ours. Storms have a way of putting our attention from what we want to ultimately trying to redirect our attention to what God wants. Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. The storm you're in right now could be leading you to a new place. It could be leading you to a place that you never maybe thought you would be in, but to a place that God needed to bring you, to get your focus back on where he wants you, on his plans. Toby Mac put up this picture. You know how he does all those quotes? And I was like, thanks. It says, sometimes our lives have to be completely shaken up, changed, and rearranged to relocate us to the place we are meant to be. Sometimes our lives have to be shaken up a little bit to not have that plan that we wanted. Sometimes they have to be readjusted so that we fix our eyes on what God's plan is for our life. So the first thing that we have to shake off is our plans, and we have to make sure that we have God's plans for our life. So once they were on this island, once the storm happened, they found this island. This is where we're going to pick the main story back up. Acts 28:1-6. It says, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Matla. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us, all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. So from all that, we're going to start at the beginning of that passage. What do we continue to need to shake off? We need to shake off panic mode. Do you ever notice that when situations happen, a lot of us go into panic mode? What's going on? What am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? But Paul, through the whole thing, never panicked. We don't read about that. We don't read like, Paul started going around like a crazy man. He didn't know what to do. He didn't get angry at God. Like, you said I was going to go here. Nothing. He was calm. He was calm on the boat. He was calm on the island. He got off the island. He started gathering wood. He was helping them build a fire. He was calm when a snake attached to his hand. Me? I go into panic mode every time. Every time. Like today when our plane got a little shaky too, I didn't mean to, but I started hitting Pastor because I was panicking. I get scared. I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? I thought about that video. Do you ever see the video of, it says mom before company comes over? If you haven't, you have to watch it. I mean, she has a vacuum in her hand. She's going crazy. She's like, where's the candles? Light every candle in the house. I want it to smell like Joanna Gaines. Kids, get your pack up or make your bed. Forget it. There's only 4 minutes. Throw your bed out the window. Like, she's like going crazy trying to clean the house before company comes over. And sometimes I think that's what we do. You know, a storm happens, and like I said, I know I'm guilty of it. I start freaking out. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't, you know, I'm like freaking out on everyone. Like, what are you doing? We have to do this. Why are you just standing there? Like, and we just go into this panic mode. But here's what panic does. Panic implies that there's no rational thought taking place. There's no rational thought taking place. That we are frozen and incapable of adjusting to the situation that's in front of us. Powerless to logic and subject to seemingly unthinkable behavior. And isn't that true? After my panic attack, or not panic attack, my panic mode happens, I'm like, yeah, that was pretty crazy. Okay, right? But God has called us to have peace. John 14:27 says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Simon Sinek says, panic causes tunnel vision. Calm acceptance of danger allows us to more easily assess the situation and see the options. We have to shake off panic mode. We have to get tunnel vision for what God has for us. Okay, this is happening. Woo! God, what do I need to do right now? I need to breathe. I need to ask God to help me through that. And I need to shake it off. Shake it off and assess the situation that's in front of me and see really what it is that God is having me to do. So we have to shake off panic mode. Ready? Everyone just breathe. See? Shake it off. The third thing that we have to shake off is criticism. Criticism. What's the first thing everyone did as the snake attached to Paul's hand? What's the first thing they did? He's over here by the fire. He's building the fire, and all of a sudden, they see the snake, right? It attaches to his hand. Paul just goes like this. Huh. Not everyone else. Everyone else looking, they were like, huh, he must be a murderer. That's right. He's getting what he deserves. Nothing. Oh, he must have done something really bad for that to happen. And they start criticizing who he is. And isn't that the way? How could she work for the church with a past like that? Who does she think she is up there singing, worshiping like that? Did you see the way he came into church? Yeah, I know what that's about. All day, every day, we can hear criticism from everyone, everywhere we go. All the time, my goodness, people want to criticize everything and everyone. We have to be careful, too, that it's not us doing the criticizing. Because we can be our own biggest critic. I know I can be my own biggest critic. I have criticized myself already like 20 times in this message before you can even criticize me. I'm doing it right now. But we have to be careful that we are not criticizing everyone else and ourselves. We don't want to be the one saying, oh, yeah. Did you see what he did in church the other day? Well, I wouldn't have done it like that. Why did he do that? Be careful that it's not you. There are two types of criticism. Constructive criticism and projected criticism. Constructive criticism is the type of criticism that every great person seeks out. If you want to be a great leader, if you want to be a great person, you will seek out constructive criticism. If you're trying to improve yourself, hearing how good you are at something isn't always helpful. It's nice to hear. We all want to hear how great we are at something. But the person chasing excellence wants to know, what can I do better? Constructive criticism answers this question, what can I do better? It's well thought out, objective, and the critic gives it with a level head. Now, not all of us are called to be that person in somebody else's life. We have to be careful who we're taking constructive criticism from. You want to take it from your mentors. You want to take it from your good friends. The other type of criticism is projected criticism. And unfortunately, that's the type of criticism that we often hear the most, and we often take it to heart when we shouldn't. This type of criticism is an emotional, negative reaction to something that you've said or done. If someone rants about how irresponsible you are, it's because something you did emotionally threatened them. It says more about them than you, and it should always be ignored. And that's exactly what happened. When the snake bit Paul and those people started to criticize him, it was saying more about those people than it ever did about Paul. Paul just went like this. They were all like, yep, that's right. He's a murderer. Isn't that what happened? Paul didn't listen to him, though. He didn't listen to him. I'm sure he heard them. I'm sure he felt the stares. I'm sure he saw the whispers. But he knew he was walking with a purpose. He knew that he was there on purpose with a mission to accomplish, and he wasn't going to let criticism get to his heart or to his head. He just went like this, shaking it off. I don't have to listen to you. I'm listening to my God. My God has called me. My God has set a purpose in my heart. I don't want to listen to all of your negative thoughts. I don't want to listen to all your negative criticism. I'm going to listen to God, and I need to shake off that criticism. He knew how to listen to God. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Paul knew the voice to listen to. He wasn't going to listen to the critics. He was going to listen to God, and that's what we have to do. We have to shake off criticism. The other thing we have to shake off, it's very close, is cynicism. So Paul shook off the snake back into the fire. People were expecting, the Bible says, they stood back and they just waited for him to die. They were expecting him to swell up and die. Cynicism is an attitude characterized by a general distrust of others' motives. That's what cynicism is. It's when somebody does something and you don't really trust that their motives are pure. The people expected him to swell up and die. They waited for a long time. The people didn't trust he was the real deal. So they just sat there. You've seen it. They stood off to the side. I'm just going to wait. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before they just swell up and die. They're not really who they say they are. Just wait. Just wait. And they just stand there with this look on their face like, it's not going to last long. They're being cynics in somebody else's life. Being skeptical that Paul didn't really change. Being skeptical that Paul really isn't God's messenger. Let's not be that cynical. And let's not listen to the cynical people in our lives. Yep, I knew he couldn't be saved. See, now he's getting the revenge that he deserves. Well, that didn't last long. Yep, old habits never change, do they? Cynical spirits. We need to shake those off. If you're not careful, you can join the cynic in your own life. If you're not listening to God, you can start to begin to say it in your own life. Yeah, I guess they're right. I guess I really am not changed. I guess I'm really not that person who God has called me to be. I guess I'm going to step back because they're right. Don't let your past be in your future. Your past is your past. You can be skeptical of who God created you to be when you're listening to the cynical people in your life. But that's not what God has called us. Stop bringing up your past. You're not your past. And even better, stop looking at someone else like their past is who they are now. Their past is in their past. Bible says we change from glory to glory. We have every single day. We can change every minute. God is renewing our mind. He's renewing our spirit. So don't look at somebody else and like they're what they did yesterday even, what they did 10 years ago. When they open up their life to God, when we open up our heart to God, we're a brand new person. And we can step into that daily renewing who we are in him. 1 Peter 1:2-4 says, you were chosen by God the Father long ago. He knew you were to become his children. You were set apart for holy living by the Holy Spirit. May you obey Jesus Christ and be made clean by his blood. May you be full of his loving favor and peace. Don't join the cynic. Don't listen to the cynic. God saved you. He anointed you. Walk in that grace. God has protected you. God protected Paul. When that snake came up and bit him, he protected him. He shook it off. Paul knew what God was going to do. He knew he was protected by God. So when that snake came up, he was like, no matter what anybody else was saying, no matter what anybody else was thinking, he knew he had a reason to be there. So we have to shake off our purpose and walk in God's purpose. Shake off panic mode. Shake off criticism. Shake off cynicism. And shake it off, the last one, and begin to walk in your purpose. We can't let situations, storms, panic, criticism, cynicism, your own vice, we can't keep those things from walking in our purpose. We have to stop putting limitations on God. And when we do that, we're stopping God from being who God is in our life. Why? Because we're listening to all those things that other people are thinking. You are not what other people are thinking. When they're criticizing you, when they're being cynical of you, that's not who God has called you to be. That's not who God has called us to be. We need to stop putting that limitations on God. We serve a limitless God. When we begin to shake off those things and we begin to walk in our purpose, that's when things change. That's when God can use us in ways that we never thought he would be able to use us. Paul had a mission. He was on mission. He wrote most of the New Testament. He was a foundational piece in the Bible. He had a purpose. He had a mission. God called him to it, and it came to pass. Paul couldn't get caught up in all the stuff other people put on him. He had to listen to God. Shake it off. Begin to walk in your purpose. Now is the time. We've been hearing it since January 1st. Now is the time. Walk in your purpose. Don't let criticism and cynicism get inside. Continue to read your Bible app. Get the word in your heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Know who you are. Get that God-fidence in your heart and begin to step into that purpose. Shake it off and move forward. I heard this week, if you still have a pulse, God still has a plan. God still has a plan. You're still living, you're still breathing. God still has a plan for your life. We need to learn how to shake it off and move into the purpose that God has for us. Amen? Let's stand up together. God, I thank you so much. Just let's lift up our hands to him today. I thank you so much, God, that you have called us by your name. God, that you have given us purpose and you have given us peace along the way. God, no matter what we come up against, the storms, the situations in life, the things that we don't know how to handle that maybe put us into panic mode, God, the criticism, the cynicism, God, help us to shake those things off and begin to move forward into the purposes and the callings and the gifts that you have for every single one of us, God. God, you're that missing piece in every single one of our lives, God. And we want to live full out for you, God. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's shake it off. Let's shake it off. All right. So this Sunday, we'd love to see you at our services, 8:30, 10 here, 12 at St. Anthony's. It's going to be a great time. I know Pastor will have a bomb message for us to hear. But if you need any prayer for tonight, we'll be down front. And we love you. And let's walk out our purpose.